Welcome to the October-November edition of Heart to Heart. Peace Will Come by White Eagle. Brethren, the message which we would bring is that of peace. There must be a deep inner yearning in the hearts of all for international peace. We come from a world which is a world of peace. Such peace does not mean inaction, for peace is active, but active in a tranquil form. Peace is the power of God working for all good behind the mortal scenes of life. God is peace, but God is not inactive. The great white spirit is life and harmony. So important is this quality of God, which you call peace, that God caused a manifestation of this quality to come in human form. And not only through one human form, but from many who have now become the world's saints, teachers, and avatars. These teachers, these apostles of the light, have demonstrated the dynamic power of the peaceful way of life. Look at nature. Nature grows silently. You seek peace within the quiet of nature. God manifests through the glories of nature, and God's Spirit is peace. We would like to speak of the symbolism contained in the scriptures of every age. If you study them closely, with understanding of the spirit, not with the mind alone, with intuition or the light within the heart, you will see that such teachings were given to humanity in accordance with the state of their spiritual unfoldment. The scriptures contain in symbolism the story of the human soul as it passes through the ages. During each cycle, there comes the particular unveiling of truth which that age most needs. There is spiritual power which lies dormant in men and women, and which people in their material state are inclined to ignore and even to deny. Yet modern neurologists and psychologists are beginning to discover hidden powers within the mind and within the souls of people. As their investigations proceed, they will find themselves out of their depth, for they will enter a world of spirit which will be a revelation. They will find it difficult to clothe in words what they discover in that higher realm. Yet the scriptures of all ages contain the truth that you are spirit. When you give way to thoughts of fear and depression, you are tuning in or adjusting yourself to a dark sphere. But when you keep in harmony with all that is lovely, true and kind, all that is godlike, you rise above that plane. You have power to depart from that land as you will, and when you will, by raising your consciousness, by aspiration to the world of light. Even thus you may escape from the darkness and mingle with the brethren of peace and love, living with and working to raise humanity. Life moves in circles, in cycles. If you expect to live beyond the death of the body, you must necessarily have lived before birth into a body. You have come from afar. This is the mystery of life. But whilst you live this life, you are a finite being, and so are unable to comprehend infinity. We who speak from spirit can assure you that you come from a heavenly state down into this mortal state with a definite purpose. Some souls return in order to help humanity. Some descend, trailing clouds of glory, and when it is encased in the flesh, their radiance becomes so dimmed that you cannot recognize it. You cannot judge the inner self of your companion. What is referred to as the higher self is a far greater and more glorious being than anyone can possibly conceive. We have noticed the effect upon some of you during your meditation when you have had vision of your higher self. It will be helpful to remind yourselves that you come from a far greater and more beautiful self than the one you know. All the souls of people are building this greater self, which is sometimes called the temple in the heavens. You are building your temple by your conduct on earth. You will be wondering what all this has to do with peace. We are endeavouring to convey to you that within yourself lies power to create or to build an edifice both on earth and in the heavens. The physical body is a replica of the soul body. The soul body is a pillar of light, and from this pillar grow flowers. Some of you are acquainted with this knowledge and know that every psychic centre of your soul body is shaped like a flower, which is attached to the pillar of light in your soul body. Development of soul depends upon the uprising and the shining of this light. Sometimes the rose is given as a symbol of this flower, and this particular flower, which grows from the heart's centre, is the flower of the Christ life, the Christ spirit. The great ones, the saints and seers of all ages, have caused this flower to bloom. As this flower grows, it causes the soul to rise in consciousness to the mountaintop. Think of the mountains, the peace and glory and power of the shining hills. Blessed is he or she who walks upon the mountains. This happens when you attune yourselves to a higher level, where you become united with the brethren, guides and teachers on that plane or world of life. In company with them, you rise. When on the mountain, your vision is widened. This is what is needed in the world today. Vision from the mountains of the spirit. Where there is no vision, the people perish. Awake and rise into the mountains. Then you will see the way to tread. Then you will see the lion and the lamb lie down together. Then you will see the beauty and the power of peace on earth. It would seem impossible that wild animals should mingle with those which are tame. But the wildness of the animal arises from fear. Self-defense causes them to become wild. Only through your own entry into that world of peace will the animal kingdom follow after. And then peace will spread throughout the animal world. Nature will then cease to be red in tooth and claw. You have been given power within your own being. You are the instrument which can wield this power of love over all. The Master Jesus, who was used by the Lord Christ, demonstrated how the power of love can perform miracles. All his parables and his miracles, so-called, were to demonstrate to humanity what this light within could accomplish. Nearly 2,000 years ago, the Master Jesus withdrew from mortal sight. We come to bring good tidings. Humanity has progressed a long way since then. When you feel depressed and inclined to think that humanity has not improved much, remember what we say. Use your reason. Look back for only half a century and you will see that progress has been made. People may no longer, perhaps, appear to be what is called religious. They refrain from becoming attached to organized religion, but are beginning to search for, beginning to reach out into a world beyond the physical. Their hearts are being quickened by the light of Christ, and they are endeavouring to establish on the lowest, the physical or material plane, the kingdom of Christ. This effort is crude at present, but a beginning. Humanity is beginning to think of the welfare of others and is not quite so callous regarding the sufferings of others as in former days. As we advance into this new age of Aquarius, which is the age of the mind, it is true that there will be increased development of mind, but also additional help will be given to humanity from the shining ones in the heavens. With development of mind and the new inventions which are coming, there will come an increase of the spirit of brotherhood and love, which will direct the wise use of these discoveries. These gifts, which God has given, will be used to bring peace and goodwill among people. Be strong in spirit. Be an ambassador for peace. Let your heart be opened in full power and glory, and peace shall be established on earth, and the lion and the lamb shall lie down together, and all life will sing the praises of its creator. Peace is with you. Let it shine from your forehead, a jewel of perfection. Some Thoughts on Consciousness by Anna Hayward. White Eagle says this: remember that life is consciousness. As you grow and evolve, you are expanding your consciousness. The extent of a person's spiritual power is the extent of his or her consciousness of higher realms of life. So, in the degree you become more conscious of the smallest details, both in human life and in the world of nature, so you will begin to expand, grow, and evolve. This expansion, however, depends entirely upon individual actions and reactions to life. For every experience, small or great, sweet or bitter, is intended to give you a further opportunity to expand your consciousness, or in other words, to lengthen your life. Anna says, so think about this for a while. Where is your consciousness? It is not really situated in the white or grey matter of the brain, is it? Though scientists tell us that it is the neurons firing in there that causes us to think, but where is the conscious awareness which is listening to this actually situated? It doesn't feel to be in the skull or the spinal cord. To me, it doesn't feel to be anywhere, yet is everywhere, and I can't pinpoint it to a location. When you dream, have flashbacks or daydreams, and especially in out-of-body experiences, the consciousness is so separate that people recount looking down at their body from somewhere else. Dreaming brings me to another strand in this article, which is the imagination. Some are quite wary of being deceived by it, in meditation particularly. However, you could argue that all one is doing with the imagination is stimulating the consciousness, which is already not attached to the physical form, to separate from the body further and experience that outer field of awareness more consciously. As long as the intention is to reach above the lower feelings and limited thought levels, White Eagle tells us we can trust the imagination as a means to that end. If, even as you listen to this, you can perceive that your consciousness is not held in your body, your awareness of yourself thinking and feeling is not attached to the physical senses, then you can acknowledge your ability to transcend further. For example, in answer to the question, is it possible to remain aware of this higher consciousness all through the working day? White Eagle replied, it is possible, but difficult. It comes with continual aspiration and self-discipline. As you progress on the path of continual meditation, you get two levels of consciousness. That is to say, you may be engaged in everyday things on the surface, but beneath the surface, there is always this consciousness of the universal divine love. You become aware beneath the daily consciousness all the time. It depends upon the level, the particular state that the soul has reached. And Anna says, the more we practice meditation, the more we develop the skill White Eagle is referring to. Many readers will be familiar with this notion about consciousness as an intellectual concept, and some may have experienced being out of the body. But perhaps they won't have thought too much about where their consciousness is, thought about it in a way which encourages a sense of freedom, of eternity, of ability to transcend, of expansion, of spiritual contact, of intuitive awareness, even whilst going about daily tasks. That deliberate awareness all the time does not interfere with practical things or mental thought, but rather enhances them. In a way, it creates a deeper experience of the body and physical manifestation. An awareness of the inner senses, which experience the world more profoundly than the limited physical senses can. White Eagle asks us to try to experience the world in this way. He says, keep pure and sensitive your five senses, using them on the physical plane with the highest endeavour, thus opening the five gateways to the spiritual and invisible forces. This is the reason for the need for balance in your life, for temperance. Never go to extremes. Cultivate harmony and thus increase your awareness of God. You can taste God. Through smell, you can inhale the essence of God. Increase awareness of the God life. Through hearing, increase your awareness of beauty. This is the whole purpose of your life on earth, that through these gateways, you may increase your awareness of God. And Anna continues, when we expand our awareness of our consciousness and realize where it isn't, we can be more aware of connection with and appreciation of other people and of the natural world. This awareness loosens the hold the body processes sometimes entrap us with, helps us to be more courageous and more compassionate for the struggles of other consciousnesses in corporeal form, as we struggle sometimes. To consider consciousness in this light certainly makes sense of our awareness of time being different according to how we are feeling emotionally. And if consciousness is not attached to the physical form, nor to the limited earthly senses which use the physical nervous system, then it can be beyond time and space, even now, as you listen to this. Such a recognition helps us to have faith in our ability to transcend limitations, to experience higher states of awareness, and even to find bliss here and now. In order to focus on experiencing consciousness as separate from the body right now, just for a few moments, observe something closely, either with your eyes or ears or touch, or even with your taste buds. God Sees Us as Perfect by Jenny Bateman. I was inspired by Anna's recent article, Knowing is Not Being, to think about how we look at ourselves as we negotiate life's challenges and experiences. A phrase that Anna used particularly struck me, and I quote, "It is not that we can't, but that we can't yet." This reminded me that many years ago a very wise old lady said to me, "God sees his children as perfect." I'm afraid I dismissed this at the time, unable to understand such a concept as I looked at myself and the huge amount of suffering going on in the world. However, thinking of the development into adulthood of our own children, we can begin to make sense of this. A baby will scream for what it wants without any thought for the well-being of the sleep-deprived adults looking after it, because at that stage it has no comprehension of their needs. Teenagers can be rude and selfish as they grapple with the transition from childhood into adulthood. If we'd consider the development of a child, we can see that they exhibit certain patterns of behaviour at certain ages, and as parents we fully expect this. Similarly, it seems that this is happening with all of us, all being God's children. He sees us as the children that we are and delights in us at all stages of our evolution, no matter what we do, loving us unconditionally. As a child learns through experience that certain ways of behaviour sometimes have unpleasant consequences, so we, as evolving souls, learn these lessons too. If we can see our so-called failures and mistakes as an integral part of our growing up and why we are here, then guilt no longer haunts us as we realise that we will eventually, either in this lifetime or one to come, have the opportunity given to us to put things right. There is no hurry, no pressure to be anything other than as we are now, children of God, all at different stages of development. However, it seems that recognition of seeming failures and the aspiration to do better actually opens another door for us. As Anna quoted from White Eagle in her article, "The very fact that you are trying shows you are there. If not, you would not be trying. The fact that you can create an ideal and longing shows that you are ready." Maybe we can stand back and look at ourselves as we have come to believe God does, seeing a beautiful child and loving that child without condemnation. In so doing, we can begin to realise that all of our experiences, both positive and negative, are an integral part of that wonderful and unique journey which each of us takes through countless lifetimes into the adulthood of a master soul and beyond. Remembrance service from an address by White Eagle just after the end of World War II. Let us at this moment raise our voices and our hearts in thankfulness to God for the lives of all whom we love, who have blessed and made happy our lives on earth. Friends, brethren, this is a service of remembrance. The ideas which people receive originate from a higher plane of life. Therefore, please understand that this day of remembrance was first planned in the spiritual spheres before the idea was adopted by the mind. It is not generally understood that humanity during the past 25 or 30 years has passed through a degree of initiation. Humanity has suffered. The heart of man has been wrung and tortured with sorrow and pain, the sorrow of bereavement, the pain of weakness, distress, and all the ills which have followed two great wars. Many people are inclined to look around and wonder why God, if he be a God of love, has permitted this major degree of suffering. In a little while, even if not at present, humanity will begin to realise the great purpose which has been served by his suffering. Do not think for one moment, my brethren, that we advocate wars. We do not say that it is necessary for humanity to endure such a measure of pain. But we do say that out of humanity's folly, God brings forth good. In other words, God makes use of the mistakes and madness of people to bring about better conditions, to bring to you all illumination and an awakening to the spiritual forces which govern life. So we find that after the First Great War, a plan was conceived to set apart a certain day in the year as a day of remembrance of those who had passed on. This is no new celebration, for its like has always been known in ancient races. The The purpose of it is to bring about a link between the two states of life, the spiritual and the physical. The moment when all thoughts are centered upon that afterlife raises the vibrations of the whole community, for then a light goes forth from the human heart. Love is always a light. When you love, you radiate light. The reaction to love is light. So when men and women are pouring out love to those in the world of spirit, they are sending out light. This causes the heavy fog which has settled around humanity to become less dense. The mists begin to disperse, and those in the world of spirit to rejoice, for they too are eager to come closer to those they love on earth. They themselves feel the warmth of your love. They too rejoice at this brief reunion and long for the time when all humanity will peer beyond the material, beyond the physical life, to realms of light and truth. You know without our assurance that you are now encircled by a vast company of radiant spirits. Looking at them as we do, we see countless numbers of spiritual beings robed in the sun. They are here with you now. And not only those men and women who passed onward in youth, but your own particular friends and dear ones. It does not make any difference. Those who come are not necessarily men and women of the forces who died in the service of their country. Many other souls have laid down their lives in service, such as mothers who have lived devotedly for their families, or many a brother or a sister, or husbands and wives, or any of these whom you have loved and who have loved you, and who have made sacrifice in their everyday life on your behalf, even as you may have sacrificed for them. Do you not see that this constitutes a bond of love? Remembrance is love. Then remember them in love. This remembrance is very important as regards the spiritual evolution of humanity as a whole. The Christian Church teaches that Christ is the Saviour of humankind, the esoteric meaning of which is that love, or the Christ light, which is love, is your Saviour, as it is the Saviour of every human soul. Only through love does the soul rise into the heaven world and reach beyond the heaven world into the highest. For there is no limit to the spheres to which the soul may rise when it has been released by the Christ love. We will pause, my children, to send our love to these our dear ones in the world of spirit. During this silence, their love flows to you and is the healing light. Do not make the mistake of thinking that when your dear ones pass away, they become too high and too pure to return. Do not think that because your loved ones live in a sphere of light and a state of bliss, that they are cut off from you, that they will go onward without you. We would like to correct that error. When love enters the heart, even when the spirit is still embodied, you will notice a radiance in the flesh. You may exclaim, "Oh, what a nice face so-and-so has. How radiant she looks." Hers is the radiance of the spirit of love, shining through the body. It does not remove that person because he or she is beautified by love. On the contrary, it draws that loved one closer. This same rule applies to those who have passed onward. They are not removed because they are clothed in the radiance of the sun. On the contrary, the more spiritual a soul becomes, the more human it grows, the more understanding of your earthly difficulties. If you could meet the Master face to face, you would find your Master a very dear friend and companion, and not at all like a plaster saint. The illumined souls of men and women do not condemn their younger brethren. They do not even judge them. They love them. We would have you open your hearts confidently to these radiant friends. Ask for them to come close, and you will feel their companionship, and they will whisper words of love to your heart. In this manner, we would have you remember the purpose of this day of remembrance. The purpose is to thin the veil between the earth people and those in the beyond, because the age of Aquarius is the age when humanity's higher consciousness has to be developed, unfolded. We have often referred to the incident when Jesus told his disciples to follow the man carrying the water pot, which is the symbol of Aquarius, the new age. You too are asked to follow the man of the spirit, so that your higher consciousness may be stimulated and unfolded, and with the progress and the development of each person, there spreads all over the earth a state of receptiveness to the message from the spiritual leaders in higher spheres. This earth planet cannot continue if the people do not open their consciousness to those spiritual messengers. It is the will of God, part of the plan of spiritual evolution, for the spirit messengers to come close, to awaken humanity from its sleep, and to pour into the minds of all peoples the message of the living word, the Christ message. This is the purpose of the day of remembrance. Never let it pass without entering into the sanctuary of prayer and meditation. Hold communion at the altar of spirit. Receive the bread and the wine of the cosmic Christ. This is for the healing of the nations. And this, and only this, will lead humanity into the paths of peace and progress, and onward to eternal and perfect life. God bless you. God bless you, children. The love of the heavenly hosts is flowing, flowing, flowing into your waiting hearts. Singing and Singing Together by Anna Haywood. I'd like to begin by referencing a radio program called Sweet Harmony in a series called Sideways, hosted by Matthew Syed. It's worth catching the whole program if it is still available on BBC Sounds. The programme was about singing in harmony, and as a singer, I was immediately interested. One of the pieces of research mentioned was undertaken by the University of Boston, the results of which showed that the more you sing, particularly together, the more you develop, quote, the networks which build empathy, unquote. Here are some of the phrases about this I picked up from the program. being prepared to harmonize. Voices softening into one. Listening to others rather than listening to yourself. Harmony singing rounds off your own edges. All of you become more through that act. Collaboration. Social bonding. An affiliative relationship. Positive feelings one to another. Becoming attitudinally aligned. In tune. A willingness to compromise. The voice is considered by some, including White Eagle, to be the very essence of the self. He says, the sound of a voice. There is so much in the sound of a voice. The soul vibration. The password. The hidden secret. And you may be familiar with the phrase attributed to Saint Augustine. He who sings, prays twice. In Sikhism, there is another phrase. Music is a ladder to God. White Eagle has said a great deal about sound. Here is just one example. Movement and speech and music are all connected with ritual, and ritual is connected with the utilization of invisible forces. It is a creative power. No wonder, then, that more is going on inwardly when we sing together than we are outwardly aware. It also is very interesting that singing uses a particular area of the brain which is not used for any other purpose. It is no surprise to me that there is much anecdotal evidence that singing is an activity which can even awaken memory, even in those whose ability to recall anything else has gone. Contemplate the following. Listening. When you listen, you take in the uniqueness of another vibration. When you listen, you are prepared to hear another voice. Prepared to be changed and to change. When you listen, you absorb. You resonate to another vibration impinging on yours, so that for a while your vibration is changed. When you listen, you are forced to discriminate and discern. Do you flow with the new vibration? Do you stand firm in your own? Can you go from one to the other or do both? So we have choir, harmony, true brotherhood. Speaking, singing, chanting, playing. When you make a sound, you let something of yourself go. You project outwards, literally, what is inwards. You reveal something of yourself and your feelings. Silence is powerful partly because it conceals. You are forced to take in more prana in order to project more. Thus, you need to become more aware of and acknowledge your need for life, breath, God. So you take and you can give. Your sound is unique, a gift from you to the universe. Come and See the Temple by Jenny Dent. I have been so blessed to be able to spend some days in our beautiful temple in Mullaney, north of Brisbane, Queensland. It's subtropical here, and the temple gardens are filled with glorious flowers and shrubs. The sounds of the birds are uplifting, and to me, magical and exotic. The Master's heavenly garden is like this, I think, full of beauty and radiating peace. The temple nestles at the top of a valley named Willamy by our pioneering fathers, Doris and Alf Cummins, reminiscent of White Eagle's home long ago in the Andes. There are amazing views across the hills towards the Glasshouse Mountains, and it certainly is a place of great spiritual power. Buried in the gardens is one of our specially programmed earth healing crystals. I feel inspired to say, without any doubt, that your light, your visit, will help recharge its energy to work even more powerfully. I am sure of this, and know that earth healing is a supremely important part of the work here. This inner knowing was confirmed for me while visiting Uluru at the start of my visit here. As I meditated there, enfolded in the soft curves of the weather-worn red rock, in the heart of the Northern Territory's Red Desert, I felt myself inwardly being drawn deep into the heart of our Earth Mother. I felt she was crying out for human care and nurture after decades, centuries of despoiling for selfish purpose and material gain. Now the pendulum is swinging back as we enter the new age of Aquarius. The consciousness of people is waking up, so many are now looking for ways to work in harmony with nature and the indigenous people, particularly here at Uluru. Our world has the opportunity to heal the deeply buried hurts of days gone by. The transformational planet, Pluto, is very active at the moment, and we can harness its energy in our prayers and become powerful earth wires, drawing the healing light of the star right down into our Earth Mother's heart. This work is even more effective when we can attune actually at places of long-established magnetic power, like UK's Stonehenge and other stone circles, Uluru and our triangle of star temples. Nowadays, with Zoom communication, it could be tempting to just tune in from the comfort of your home. And of course, physical travel is not possible for all of us. But if you have the material means to travel and would like to come to Australia, you can now stay here at our lovely retreat centre, bringing your gift of light. You could make the retreat centre your base for exploring the area. Our beaches, some 40 minutes away, are superb. Exploring the Glasshouse Mountains is a spiritual journey well worth contemplating. And our rainforests bring a sense of peace and tranquility. When visiting, you would need a car, as we are in the country. And an ideal time to visit is May to September. You do not have to attend a retreat. You can stay in all this beauty, giving Earth Mother your gift of love and light, and helping our buried crystal work even more powerfully in the heart of Australia and the Southern Hemisphere. Gay says, we do look forward to your visit. And if you are interested, please contact her on gay@whiteeaglelodge.org.au. The reading for our service today is Working with Higher Vibrations. Remember to cultivate your imagination your receptivity, your feelings of the universal life force, which is everywhere. We would say that there is no finer instrument through which this cosmic power can work than the human instrument. You sit in your healing groups. You offer yourselves. You listen to the voice of the leader of the group, or as lone healers, you say the words of the healing service. You may sometimes see the colours which the angels are bringing, or you may not see them. You may have to work in the darkness, to work in love, believing and accepting what you've been told about the projection of these healing rays. You have been told to cultivate your imagination and your feeling. The healing angels gather together the particular rays, your vibrations, that are needed for a particular patient. You are told that you must project a certain colour to a certain centre, which you do humbly. Now you do it with your mind. Your mind is the instrument which sends forth the thought, and in the thought is the healing ray you project. You think blue to the solar plexus, and your mind takes up instantly the command. Your mind projects that ray. Make no mistake, that ray which the human mind projects is as powerful and as real as any of the light waves or sound waves which are at this present day being manifested or illustrated on a television screen. There you have the physical proof and you accept it. You have got so used to it that you take it for granted. You know it is there because you can see it with your eyes. But at the present time, you cannot see the invisible rays, which are far more powerful than the rays of the television, for they are on a higher vibration. And now our prayer for humanity. Let us remember before God the great need of all humankind, and that we may pray to God, we have made quiet the fretful mind of every day. And we open our hearts to the Father, Mother God, and to Christ the Son, to the Holy Trinity of wisdom, love, and power. In the holy name of Christ, by the Christ light in the hearts of all people, we call upon the great angels of Christ. We feel their presence and their power, and we attune ourselves to the prayers of all men and women of goodwill. And being thus prepared and ready before God, with all the will of our minds, with all the love of our deepest hearts, we send forth the light. We send it forth as a great star of light, a star, a blazing star, withstanding, overcoming all evil, triumphant over darkness and death, a star of the Christ light. By all the power of Christ within, we send forth the light. And we hold within this great healing star all those areas of the world where there is suffering through conflict, especially
Israel and Palestine, Ukraine and Russia. We hold the leaders and peoples of these countries in the great light of the star. And we remember those who suffer through natural disaster and through lack of food or water, and all refugees. And now let us hold in this great healing light anyone known to us personally who may be in need of healing or help. Silently we name them now. And we see them perfect in the heart of the star. Amen.
For our meditation, let us remember what White Eagle has said about those who we love in the world of light drawing close to us, and also about the power of the imagination. So first of all, become very still. And remember with love all those whom you know who are in the world of light. Some you will not know in this lifetime, but are deep friends from other times. Also, remember what White Eagle says about masters in the world of light, that they appear as friends and companions, not as plaster saints, as he called them. There may be just one special person, or there may be more than one. They wait for you to cross the bridge in consciousness. And so you might imagine stretching before you into a pearly distance, a bridge of light. It is very beautiful, and as it reaches into the distance, it reaches into a land of love and peace and beauty, which beckons you across it, across that bridge. Imagine yourself walking towards that glorious feeling of love. Imagine that with every step you take onto this lighted bridge, there is more and more of a feeling of joy, a feeling of going home. Your steps are light and free. Your body can move easily. And your heart is lifted. Until gradually you begin to see those who gather to be with you in that world of the spirit. You may recognize them, and indeed you will recognize them, even though they may appear younger than you last knew them, shining and happy. And those you don't recognize immediately, you will still know in your heart. You step off the bridge into their embrace, whether it be into their aura, to feel their hands, to see their smile, and to hear their voice. There are no limitations. Allow your imagination to carry you forwards, to walk with them, sit with them. It may be that you are in a place you know they would have loved on earth. The kind of landscape, the kind of colours, in this world they can manifest what appeals to them. And it may be also that you find yourself with them in a landscape you love. It could be somewhere you know on earth, somewhere you've been together, or just somewhere that you find really beautiful or uplifting, special. And that landscape enfolds you. It is full of light and peace, even if there is noise like by the sea. Underneath there is peace. Even if in a dark forest, smelling of pine, still there is light. And with that light, love. Walk with them, sit with them, dance with them, enjoy this time of remembrance, this reality. This world is full of sweet scents and sounds you love. Full of homecoming and comfort. And wherever you are, your companion or companions, tell you how much you are loved and how real this land of the spirit is. Have no fear, they say. This is your home. And when it is time to come back, they walk with you to the end of the bridge. And they assure you that they are close by your side always when you call to them, when you think of them, even when you're in your physical body and about your daily tasks. And so with that reassurance, you walk back across the bridge, taking a few deeper breaths as you do so. And as you breathe, feeling your physical body wherever you are on earth, feel the rib cage opening. Feel how you're sitting or lying or standing. Listen to the sounds around you on earth. And before you come back quite completely, just send a thought to your companions again and feel for a moment that they are still with you. And then feel that you have a rod of light right down through your spine into the earth, and see the image of the cross of light within the circle of light in front of your solar plexus and your throat center. Feel yourself surrounded in that light. And we give thanks to all those who have helped us on this journey. Namaste.